When you greet people sometimes, what's the usual response that you often hear if you come up to somebody and say, "How you doing?" What's a typical response that you might come back with? Maybe you can just call out, "I'm doing good." Okay. What else? Okay. Hanging in there. There's different expressions that we come up with. They're just trying to kind of trite sayings, you know. And there's one in particular that I often hear, and that it's kind of like what I'm going to be speaking a little bit about this morning. You know, if someone asks you, "Well, how you doing?" I've often said to myself, "Well, I'm taking it one day, you finish it, at a time. One day at a time." And so I thought, you know, that's a good philosophy to have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is that you look at life as every day a precious gift from God that He's given to you, that we should never take for granted, but that we should utilize it to maximize our service and our love for Him, and take one day at a time, and don't worry, and don't fret, and don't concern ourselves about the future or way down the road, but just taking it one day at a time. And that particular day can be a day that you can look back at the end and say, "That was a day that I lived for the Lord, and I gave Him praise and worship and honored Him in all that I said and all that I did." There's a little gospel tract that I came across, and I cut it up into two pieces here. And I came across this some time ago, and it fits in with some of the verses that I'm going to look at from Philippians. If you want to turn to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at two key verses there to begin with. The first one is found in verse 13. And this is in a section where Paul is talking about the secret of God's peace and the strength that comes from walking with Him day by day, and the contentment that comes in knowing the Lord. Paul gives his testimony of God's peace in his life and his contentment. He rejoices that he has a day to give back to the Lord. And if you look at verse 10, it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." And then verse 13, "I can do all things through Him," that is Christ, "who gives me the strength." So the thought in this little track says, for this one day, I can say, and I will say, "For I can do everything with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength that I need." Paul experienced in his life contentment in the situations that God allowed him to go through. He's writing this epistle while he's in prison. He had been through a lot of hardships. He'd been through some difficult times. Suffering was not uncommon for what he had to go through in his life as a Christian. But in whatever circumstances he found himself, he learned the secret of contentment with the Lord and with his dealings with Him. Contentment with the Lord's presence every day of his life, and contentment with the Lord's dealings with him in his present situations. Sometimes we tend to complain when things aren't going our way, when life doesn't seem to treat us fairly. We have difficulties, we have struggles, and we really are restless, and we're not content. And I know I'm that way from time to time. You would think that after being saved for as many years as I have, when I got saved on March the 5th, 1951, as a 7-year-old boy, you would think that by now at age 70 I would have arrived, that I would have fully attained to whatever was necessary to live a godly Christian life with no problems whatsoever. And I find that there are areas in my life that I'm still struggling with, one of which is sometimes a lack of contentment, a lack of just accepting what God has graciously given to me and moving on from that from day to day. And so I've learned to say, for this one day, just for this one day, I will learn to accept the fact that I can do all things through the strength that God gives to me through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In spite of whatever may happen, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the opposition, the discouragements that come, that's all part of living. And we need to just learn how to cope with it, not in ourselves, but in the strength that God gives to us. So we need to draw heavily upon the Lord. I've often heard it said, I don't know what I could do. I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the Lord with me. Those words were just expressed yesterday at a funeral that I was able to take. It was a military funeral of a man that passed away at 91 years of age. I had never met him before in my life. I never met the family, didn't know the first thing about them. I said, well, how did you get to conduct the funeral service for someone like that? Well, some of you may know the name of Dave Rickert. Dave Rickert is a full-time commended worker in South Carolina. I got a phone call from Dave last Tuesday saying, no, I wanted to know if you could do me a big favor. There's an elderly couple that I met in the Bahamas, and I had the privilege of leading them both to the Lord later in life. And the gentleman, the man, has passed away. He was a military hero during World War II. He was a man that had been shot down in aviation flights. He was on a pontoon for about 13 days before he was able to get to an island that was occupied by the Japanese, but was rescued before Japanese came. And he tells in his autobiography all the exploits that he had as an unbeliever. And Dave Rickert had a chance to lead them both to the Lord. And he said, would you be willing to take this service tomorrow? A military service with honors. And I said, I'll be glad to. Not realizing who they were or anything about them. And when I met Judy, the widow, for the first time, what a gracious lady she was and is. And one of the first words out of her mouth to me, she says, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the Lord. And she wanted the gospel to be presented to her unsaved family, many of them which were from an Episcopalian background, a Roman Catholic background, not very religious people at all, but they wanted the gospel presented. And the Lord gave help, and I made it as clear as I could, and then paid respect to the man too, for the life that he lived, and the patriotism that he showed towards our country. There were four sailors behind me that were ready and standing by the casket. They were ready to do the military honors and the folding of the flag, the playing of taps. And the Lord just put it upon my heart to pray for them as well. And I prayed for these four sailors that were standing there. But the words of that woman, a gracious woman, a godly woman, now she's been saved maybe 4 years now, desires of her family coming to know the Lord. And she said, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the Lord. And I wonder if you sometimes feel the same way each day of your life as you try to handle life's curves that is thrown at you, that you can't do it in your own strength. You just can't do it. It doesn't work. And I know that many of you have experienced that. If you try to muster up what you need to get through the day, and you're dependent upon the flesh, you're dependent upon your own resources, that it's just not going to work. I can't depend upon perhaps even the natural abilities and talents that God has given to me to get me through. I need to have that spiritual infusion of God's grace and of His presence with me and the strength that comes from knowing Him and walking with Him. So for this one day, I will say I can do anything with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the strength that He gives to me. And there's another one in the same chapter here that it's kind of a special verse to many of us. It's in this whole section of His contentment with the Lord, found in verse 19. And we've quoted this verse many times before, I'm sure you have as well. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs. And this little tract says, For this one day, I will not worry about my needs. For this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from His glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. The verses that this individual has taken is from a paraphrase, and that's why it sounds a little bit different from the King James or the New King James that you have in front of you. And my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. We have a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine. He is more than able, isn't He, to meet us in our every need. That was one of our themes for Vacation Bible School. If you remember, part of the theme that week was not only our Creator God, but not only a God who protects us, but we also had as one of our themes, I think it was on the Monday or Tuesday, the second day was God, our provider. God, our provider. Jehovah Jireh. There's a song. Maybe it's in your book. I don't know if there's a song. Maybe, Paul, you can look it up sometime that you can sing that. Jehovah Jireh. Our God does provide and will provide. He provides not only for our needs, but oftentimes even provides for the wants and wishes that we have in our hearts. He loves to take good care of us. You know, you're in good hands. Not so much with Allstate, although you might be good there too. But you're in good hands when you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And you know His Heavenly Father, who is willing to provide for your needs in every way. The greatest need that we have as individuals, the greatest need that we can ever experience is that of salvation. And so I tried to get across to these people yesterday. I had several come up after the funeral and said, that was a beautiful service. You know, I hate that when they say that. Without going into, well, what did you learn from it, you know? They were pleased with the words that were said, but I wonder how much of it impacted, you know? But my God shall supply all of you needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. But you know what? I remember speaking upon this verse a couple of years ago over at America's Keswick. Once in a while I get down there and I pinch hit for the chaplain. It used to be Dennis Crump when he was there. Now it's another gentleman. And whenever they have a need for a chaplain to come in and do the services, I tell them if I'm down in Silverton or down in Belmar speaking, I'll be glad to stay and take the service in the afternoon. I can remember speaking about this very verse, Philippians 4:19. And one of the men that was involved came up after me and says, you know, one thing you need to emphasize more so is that the illustrations that I was giving that day were of a nature of that God provides for our physical needs. And he says, it's also true that He provides for our spiritual needs as well. Both are important. One perhaps more so than the other. The spiritual needs that we have. The developing the spirit of contentment. To develop the spirit of patience and long-suffering and the fruit of the Spirit. These are what can help us in our walk with the Lord. But the physical things that God provides for us are incredible. And I'm sure if we had a testimonial meeting here this morning that many of you could testify how that God has in a very specific, meaningful, even miraculous way provided for you in ways that you couldn't even imagine. I think I told the story to the kids, even an illustration of this summer. That when we came back from Spain as short-term missionaries back in 1975, we were given an old car to use that wasn't long to live. And it got us from one destination to the other. We were down in Georgia at the time. And I knew the car was about ready to go. Well, there was a gentleman in the fellowship at Marietta Bible Chapel where we fellowship. His name was Bill Berry. He's with the Lord now. Bill Berry was just a gracious, godly man. He had his struggles in life. He had issues that he was dealing with, but he really had a heart of gold, and a heart that was just willing to share with others. He knew the need that we had of a car. So after church one Sunday night, he says, Don, I want you and your wife to come on over to the house. I've got something I want to share with you. I said, sure. I thought it was going to be free food, you know. I thought, that's great. Sunday night, you know, go over and get some goodies, you know. So he'd go over to his house, and he says, now listen, I know the car that you're driving is an old clunker of a jalopy. It's ready to go. I know it is. He says, I have a daughter who is a student at Wheaton College. And we gave her a new Toyota Corolla. And she had a fender bender on campus. And the fender is kind of messed up and she doesn't want to drive it anymore. Would you like to have it? I said, you're offering me a car? Yeah, it's yours for the taking, if you'd like to have it. In fact, we also have a gas tank in our backyard. And anytime you need gas, just pull into the driveway and help yourself. It's on us. Wow. You don't think that God provides? Now, doesn't He do it in that miraculous way all the way, all the time? Maybe not that frequently, but He does. And I can testify again and again. Again. And so can my daughter. My daughter, Lori, was up for the summer helping the Vacation Bible School. She tells the story of this happened this last year where she gave a call to us one time and said, Dad, pray about the fact that our van, our Dodge Caravan, is about ready to die. And no, it wasn't a Dodge Caravan. It was a Toyota Corolla, I guess it was. Well, she tells the story how God just miraculously provided for them. And also about other issues in her life. She was going on and on how God had just undertaken for them, that they had provided for them. God had provided for them. And that's still true. God does provide for us. He takes good for us. We don't have to worry about things. We really don't have to worry about things at all. Go back to chapter 4 and look at verses 6 through 9. Verses 6 through 9. This is the secret of God's peace. The secret of God's peace. These are wonderful verses. Paul is saying this to the Philippians. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is showing and teaching us here this morning as well the secret of God's peace. Not only does he provide for us, and the greatest need is the provision of salvation. And I'm hoping and praying that every single individual here this morning knows beyond any shadow of a doubt that you belong to him, that he's your Savior, that he has saved you from your sins, and that you have been brought into his very family. You are a child of God. We should never assume that that's the case. Whenever we gather together, there's always a possibility, like at our chapel, we have people that come at 11 o'clock every Sunday. We're still not sure of where they are spiritually in their lives. And we share the gospel with them, but you're never not sure. So we have to not assume that everyone is a believer, but probably the majority of you are. If not, give some serious thought to where will you spend eternity and to put your faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as believers, to learn the secret that Paul learned here of not being anxious, of not being worrisome, not being fretful over the situations at life here. There's a prescription that God gives us here in his word for receiving God's peace. And that's in verses 6 and 7. The direction basically is twofold. And it's very simple. And sometimes we just sort of overlook it. It says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. How many have been able to find a great deal of peace in your hearts and minds by putting this into practice in your life? When you're stressed out, when you're feeling the pressures of life, when you're feeling that things are just overwhelming you, and you're anxious, how many have really found that God's peace is available at any time, night or day? Don't worry about anything. Just leave it with the Lord. Because the second part of this is pray about everything in a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude. Pray, don't worry. It's so simple. It's so simple for my mind to even comprehend. And yet somehow I allow the things of life to distress me, to distract me, to get me off the path, and I begin to worry and fret about things that I can leave with him, knowing that he will work things out. I have confidence in that verse that I know that he that hath begun a good work will perfect it, perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. And God is sovereign. All things work together for good to them that love him, to them that are called according to his purpose. We don't always know the outcome of things that will happen in our lives. We're living in very stressful days, as you very well know. Maybe it's been this way for a long time, but I'm becoming much more conscientious of what is going on over there in northern Iraq and this Islamic movement and the beheadings that are taking place. There was one just the other day of a young man from Lebanon that was captured and was beheaded. And it's very stressful to think we're living in turbulent times and the end is near in sight. The Lord is coming back soon. But in the meantime, he's left us here. We're to be able to rest in his presence, to have peace in our hearts, even in the midst of trials and circumstances, and not to worry about anything, but to just pray about things with a spirit of thanksgiving. And the result will be the peace of God. We see that in the verses that we've read here, verses 5 and 6, and verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehensions, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The result will be the peace of God. It's a wonderful feeling, and it is a feeling. There's nothing wrong with feelings in the Christian life. Sometimes we tend to play down that whole aspect of healing, but it's a tremendous feeling to sense and know the peace of God in your life when you're going through some turbulent times. We've experienced that as a married couple, having raised 6 kids, having seen them go through the turbulent teenage years, to see your kids make wrong choices, to go down wrong paths, and your heart just bleeds for them, and you want to just reach out, and you go all stressful about it, and you can pray and say, Lord, they're in your hands. I know they belong to you, and I know that they will come back to you in due time, and sure enough, they have. I thank God for what he's done in the life of Scott, and even Greg. I think about where they were at one time, and going down the wrong direction. God got a hold of them and brought them back. Boy, it's just beautiful. It's just wonderful. Praise God. It's all of his grace. And you know, if you have children and grandchildren and you're concerned about what steps they're taking, never give up on them. Never walk away. Never abandon them. Stay with them. Pray for them. Work with them. And see them come through with flying colors. They don't always do it at the time you want. It may take a lifetime before some even come back to the Lord. I've got 26 cousins on my dad's side of the family. Barbara Risk is related to me. I don't know if you knew that or not. You can ask her how. We're all family. But on my dad's side of the family, there are 26 of us. I have 26 first cousins. And out of those 26, 25 of them have done well for the Lord. They've gone on well for the Lord. There was one. His name was Larry. Larry, for the longest time, just did his own thing. Just very recently, within the last year or two. And he's probably in his mid-60s now. Larry came back to the Lord. And it's so wonderful to see. It's so wonderful to see. So you never give up. You never give up. This is the peace which God fills the believer as he stands firmly in the position that is ours as being in Christ. And this is to be distinguished from peace with God. You know the difference, don't you? Peace with God, which is the portion of every believer. You make peace with God, that's justification. But the peace of God is very much dependent upon our walking with the Lord. It's the whole area of sanctification. This deeper peace of walking with God is said here to be incomprehensible to the merely natural mind. It overtops or surpasses anything the unspiritual mind can grasp. It keeps on guarding. It keeps on protecting the mental, emotional, and spiritual life from enemy intrusion, that which would spoil God's grace. So there's a prescription that God has given to us for receiving God's peace. And it's twofold. And it's very simple. Not hard to understand, but difficult sometimes to put into practice. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything with a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude. And when you do that, you'll sense, and I'm sure many of you have, an overwhelming sense of God's peace that comes over you. Peace in the midst of all the storms of life. In this space, we all go through that in one way or another. But it also goes on to share in verses 8 and 9 a prescription here. It's like Paul was a doctor here. He's given a prescription. He's writing that on a piece of paper and giving it to him. He says, you know, you want to receive God's peace, the Spirit of God has led me to teach you that you're not to worry about anything, but to pray about everything. And it's like he's given a prescription here for maintaining God's peace. And that's in verses 8 and 9. He says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if that word should be, since there is any excellence, and since anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Notice what it says next. And the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. Another phrase in the Bible is the God of all comfort, the God of all peace. Be with you. We talked about that at the funeral service yesterday. The God of all comfort comforts us. But the God of all peace, who gives us a sense of his very presence with us. The secret is to guard our mental lives from enemy intrusion. There's just a lot of stuff that we need to filter out. A lot of things that maybe we allow ourselves to entertained in our minds that are not very wholesome. I'm learning this whole thing about what's going on Facebook. You know, this is all new to me. You know, you guys are much smarter than I am, but my wife goes on Facebook and I go and I click that. And it's fascinating to read. I get pictures of the De Leon family all the time. It's great seeing all these pictures, you know, and yet every once in a while something will click on, or something will scroll down, and you know, it's not very appropriate. This is, I shouldn't be looking at this, you know, and some I don't know how that happens. I don't know how sometimes things get on there, or I click onto something and it's just hey, my name's Judy. And I can make your night exciting. Click on and I'll show you how. Wow, what is this stuff? You know, and I need to, there's things that are just our young people and even our adults. I'd be careful. The young man that I discipled for the Lord, who was in full-time Christian work, who was a great Christian man. He was tremendous talents, tremendous abilities. And he got sucked into the misuse of the computer, led him into the pornography aspect of it. He got so into it that it led to a separation and a divorce from his wife and 4 or 5 kids. Dropped out of ministry. It's just, we've lost touch with him. He was a brother in the Lord. And did some things, they just allowed enemy intrusion to come in. Enemy infiltration. And it just wrecked his whole testimony, his whole life. I believe he's saved. I believe he's going to heaven. He's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And give an account of his actions. We need to be extra, extra careful that we don't allow our enemy to come in and spoil God's grace and make havoc of our lives. The secret is to guard our mental lives. What we allow ourselves to think upon or ponder. We're going to meditate continually upon the things that Paul mentions here. Things that are true. In fact, you could just insert the name of Christ, can't you? In every one of these passages. Every one of these descriptions. Think upon things that are true, that are honest, that is honorable and reputable. Things that are just, or things that are righteous. Things that are pure. Things that are lovely or acceptable. Things that are of good report. That is, things that are commendable, laudable. To think upon these things. Philippians 4:8 is a great verse to memorize. To maintain God's peace, it takes discipline on our part. I think that was one of the things that I learned at Emmaus when I went there as a student. I learned, looking at the lives of those professors, that to get to where they were in their lives, I recognized for the first time that it takes discipline. It takes determination to take steps to maturity in the Christian life. It just doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It takes effort. Not in our own strength, but in the strength that God gives to us to mature and to grow and to practice these things. But not only to think about our life, but also to practice the things which were taught. Paul is talking to the people here at Philippi. He's saying, I've spent some time with you. I care for you. I love you. And you need to think upon these things and to practice them. They were exemplified in his personal life. Paul was not perfect. Paul would never be the first one to say, well, he did. He actually did say, didn't he? Didn't he really say, follow my example? Imitate me? Did you ever stop and think about that? What person could have the audacity to say that? Imitate me. Imitate my faith. What was he quick to add? Even as I imitate the Lord. Paul, in all confidence, not in the flesh, but God could say to the people of Philippi, imitate me. Follow my example. Even as I imitate and follow the Lord. I'd be very leery of saying to anybody, you know, look at me. Imitate me. Oh, there's some nice aspects of me, but there's some other things that aren't so nice. And so what do I have to do about that to get rid of the other stuff? It takes motivation, discipline, and the grace of God to bring about the changes in our lives, to practice those things. And the result will be not only possessing the peace of God, but the God of peace himself, as we see that in verse 9. And then getting back to where I was before in chapter 4, verses 10 there, to 14, his contentment in the Lord. I just want to close with a couple of thoughts on that. Talking a little bit more just about the peace of God, but this is the contentment. Let's read those verses. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now at least you have received, you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I think the King James says, whatever state I am. I remember one of the preachers from down south one time speaking about that. You've heard that. You know, whatever state you're in, whether it's Georgia, North Carolina, New Jersey, whatever state you're in, you can be content with the Lord, whatever circumstances that God allows and brings into your life. I know how to get along with humble means. You know, Paul certainly knew that. Paul was in prison. Paul had given up a lot to serve the Lord. The Lord put him through a lot of tests. The Lord puts us through a lot of tests. And he tests us to prove our faith. The question is, how are we going to come through? With flying colors? Or are we going to fall and stumble along the way? Sometimes we do, but he's always there to pick us up, put us on the right track again. I know how to live in prosperity. Paul knew abundance, and he knew neglect. But he learned the secret of being content with God in his life day by day. I know how to get along in every circumstance. I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having abundance and suffering in need. He rejoices here that the Philippians' care for him had flourished again. He was concerned about that. This was really a thank you note that he wrote to express gratitude and appreciation for the love gifts that were given. But he stresses something very important. He stresses the fact that he had learned the secret of being satisfied in whatever condition he found himself in his service to the Lord. In the pathway he chose that God led him to follow, on that road to Damascus, there was an about-face change. And his life was forever to be changed, just as it should have been in our case when we got saved. It's an about-face. It's an about-change in direction. Of course, I was only 7 years old when I got saved, but I knew in my heart that I wanted to serve the Lord. I knew in my heart that I wanted to do what was pleasing to him. And so I was going in that direction. And I tell you, those early years of being a Christian are wonderful. I'm so embarrassed that there was a time when I got away from all of that. You know, I think all of us probably could look back at our lives and say there was probably a brief period of time. Me, it was like when I was 16 to 17. My whole life changed when I went up to Camp of the Woods. I'm not blaming Camp of the Woods, but it wasn't their fault. But I got in with the wrong crowd. And all of a sudden, I started doing things I'd never done before and saying things I'd never said before. And that journey that should have been a spiritual high in my life was a downer. And that's that year and a half, it was just not walking with the Lord. And what a wasted life that was for that brief period of time. But I'm glad it was short-lived. I'm glad that God got a hold of me and brought me back and put me on the right track again, on the right path. And I've learned the secret of just walking with him and being content with him day in and day out. He's brought me through good times and prosperous times and through times of testing as well. I've learned that, like Paul did, in Christ he had unlimited potential. He is grateful for the help that was given to him in his time of necessity. You know, it kind of reminds me of John 15:5, and I wrote this verse down in my Bible. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Or another verse that says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. God is able to meet us in our every need. He gives us a sense of security. He gives us provisions for our needs. And yet, sometimes we fret. Sometimes we worry. Sometimes we're not sure that he's even there with us. He is with us. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. You know, you don't have to pray, as I often hear people pray, they'll say something like this, and they mean well. And I'm not going to make a big issue of it, but people say, well, Lord, would you be with so-and-so as they go through this operation? Lord, would you be with them as they travel? Lord, would you be with them as they do this and do that? And I guess it was Fred Cozen who set me straight on that one time. He says, you don't have to pray that. It's an insult to God. He is with you. He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. What you need to pray is help us to be aware of His presence with us. Help us to be sensitive to His presence with us. But not doubt the fact that we have to say, Lord, please be with so-and-so. He is with them. If you are a believer, He's not going to desert you. He's not going to abandon you. His Holy Spirit who dwells within you is not going to leave you. He's taken up His permanent residency in your life. And that He's there. He's God's dynamite, God's power. And He provides what we need for life and godliness in our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these are just a few thoughts. I'm going to continue this kind of theme tonight, looking at some other sections, or looking at chapter 1. That's where I thought I was going to begin this morning, but somehow the Lord just directed my thoughts to the latter part of the book. But we'll look at some chapters and some verses tonight, and we'll look forward to that time. So this is closed now in the word of prayer. Father, we thank You for the power of Your word, and we pray, Lord, that You would help us not to take things into our own hands sometimes, as often we do. Help us to realize that You are Jehovah Jireh. You are the one who provides. You provide for us in our every need, especially the need of salvation and forgiveness of our sins, and regeneration, putting us into Your family. That's the greatest need that we can have met, Your awesome power and might, and Your finished work on the cross. But Lord, for just the everyday living out the Christian life, help us to come and treat each day that comes to us as a precious gift of life, that we would treat this day as just one day at a time, and that we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. And that for this one day, we'll not worry about what will happen to us, that our God will provide for us. He will take care of us. He will meet us and minister to our needs. Lord, we're just grateful for Your provisions. We're grateful for the many blessings that we don't deserve. We're undeserving of Your grace, but we accept it. We embrace it. We welcome it. Thank You, Lord, for loving us as much as You do. Part us with Your blessing, Lord. Give us a good afternoon with our family and friends and loved ones. Bring us back, those of us who are able to get back tonight. Bring us back in safety. We pray, Lord, for Phil and Mary as they take off in this major journey for 5 weeks to the Philippines and the Orient, that You would just mightily use them to encourage Your servants and minister the word that will be given. Visiting family and friends, we ask, Lord, for safekeeping for them. We pray, Lord, for the rest of this day as we commend ourselves to You. We give thanks in our Lord's precious name. Amen.